Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to continue preaching through the Gospel of John, and we're in chapter 16. I'm going to begin around verse 12, and I'll back up and make some comments about prior verses that I've already preached on, because I want to emphasize some things concerning this subject, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. Now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. And you know, the Bible, and basic to what we know as Christianity, presents God in three persons. Now, that's not three gods. I've emphasized that on this program so much. When you talk about the Trinity is really beyond our understanding, and humanly speaking. And yet, this is how God reveals himself in his word, as God the Father, representing the sovereignty, the sovereign authority of the Godhead, and then God the Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the mediator between God and sinners. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, as God the Son, is absolute deity. No, he's not a lesser God or anything like that. There's not three gods. There's only one God. But he subsists in three persons. And God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is the one who applies powerfully and invincibly and irresistibly all the blessings of salvation, which the Father purposed and put into motion before the foundation of the world. And so the Holy Spirit applies it, and the work of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who set forth the ground of salvation by his obedience unto death. And that's why he had to become man. God-man. But the Holy Spirit applies those blessings of salvation to his people and in time. And the Holy Spirit, along with the Father and the Son, all three were active in the creation of the world. All three are active in the salvation of sinners in their particular offices. The Holy Spirit is not an influence or some kind of a ghost, even though in the Bible he's called the Holy Ghost because he's a spirit. But he's not a ghost like you think of in these horror movies, you know, like somebody's come back from the dead. That's not what he's like. He's God. He's the third person of the Godhead. So this is essential to our understanding of the Bible, our understanding of God, what limited understanding we have, and our understanding of salvation. In here in John chapter 16, John is talking about, he's telling the words of Christ as taught to the disciples concerning the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, and how he will come as the Spirit of conviction and the Spirit of truth. And I preached on these last time. Look down at John 16, verse 8. It says, when he has come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Those three convictions: of sin, because they believe not on me, he said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. He goes by way of the cross, by way of death, whereupon he was raised from the dead and ascended unto the Father. And then verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And that is the fact that God's people, his elect, the ones whom he gave to Christ before the foundation of the world and sent him to die for on Calvary, those and for whom he lived and died and was buried and rose again, for whom he is now seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession, that those people have already been judged in Christ for all their sins. Their sins were imputed to Christ and his righteousness to them. So the Holy Spirit comes to give life, spiritual life in the new birth. And he does it through the preaching of the gospel. That's why I quote quite often on this program Romans 1, 16 and 17, where it speaks of, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news of the glorious person and the finished work of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek or the Gentile also. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. And so the Holy Spirit uses the truth of the gospel to bring sinners into life, eternal spiritual life, and to bring them to a saving knowledge of and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives the gift of life from Christ. Often I've told you on this program how in the life of a person, a sinner saved by grace, there are two things that must take place. Number one, there's a legal matter that must be settled because God is a just God. Yes, he's a merciful God, but he's also a just God, and he must punish sinners with eternal damnation if sin is imputed, charged to them. And to those to whom he does not impute sin, he imputed that to Christ, and Christ had to die. The wages of sin is death. And he did that on the cross. That's the legal aspect of salvation. It's called justification and redemption. God justifies the ungodly. That means he forgives us of our sins on the ground, the legal ground of the blood, the death of Christ. And he declares his people righteous on the legal ground of Christ's righteousness imputed. And that's a work that is done totally by Christ himself, singularly, without any help or any cooperation from his people. And that's the ground of salvation, the ground of justification. The second thing that must take place is a spiritual matter. And because we fell in Adam into spiritual death and depravity, and we're born spiritually dead and depraved, we must be born again. We must be given spiritual life from the dead. And Christ sends forth the Spirit of truth to do that. Listen to what he says in verse 12 of John 16. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, people speculate over what he's talking about. But he's talking about matters that they learn later concerning the kingdom. You know, they were not settled on what the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God was all about. But look at verse 13, and here's where I got the title of the message today. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And when it comes to applying salvation and the benefits and blessings of it to each and every one of God's chosen people for whom Christ died. And that's what he does. The Bible says in Romans 8:10, the body is dead because of sin, this physical body. The reason we get sick and die physically is because of sin. But that's not an eternal death to those who are in Christ. It's not a spiritual death or a damnation or a condemnation. It says in Romans 8:10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is life, eternal spiritual life, because of righteousness. And where are we going to find righteousness? Not in ourselves, not by our works. We find righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:4 says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So the Holy Spirit comes forth from Christ. And you'll hear me talk about imputed righteousness quite a lot on this program. That's the merits of the obedience unto death of Christ, the quality, the worthiness, the merit of his obedience unto death, imputed, charged, accounted to his people for their justification, for their salvation. And so that righteousness is the ground of our salvation, and it's the source and power of spiritual life in the new birth. So how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? He'll guide you into all truth. Now he'll guide you first under the gospel. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 6, when we talk about the work of the Spirit, the first work of the Spirit in the life of one of God's chosen people, whoever they are, and there are a multitude of sinners which no man can number. They're out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. They're the elect of God. They're the redeemed of the Lord. And God in Christ will send the Spirit to them to apply. The first thing that the Holy Spirit does is a work of providence, where he works in the life of God's chosen people at an appointed time to first bring them under or in contact with the true gospel. That's why he's called the Spirit of Truth. You see, you must hear the gospel, the true gospel, not a false gospel. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's, if the gospel is hid to you, and you go through life never hearing the true gospel, or go through life without the power of the Spirit, rejecting the gospel, there's no hope of salvation for you. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the word of truth. Begotten again, James 1:18, we're begotten again, born again, by the word of truth. Now that's not just a preacher preaching, that's communicating the gospel, but it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. And over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, listen to these verses. Paul writes, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin." Now, in the context here, a servant of sin is a spiritually dead, unregenerate sinner, an unbeliever. He doesn't believe. He's a slave to sin. He goes on, he says, "But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine," that's the truth, the teaching, the gospel, "which was delivered you." Now, when the Holy Spirit brings a sinner, raises that sinner from the dead, and that's what the new birth is. It's a literal spiritual resurrection from the dead. The Spirit imparting life to a dead sinner, spiritual life. And that life is known by the knowledge that he gives. And that's what, in the Old Testament, the Lord prophesied that through Ezekiel and Jeremiah. "I'll put my Spirit within you. I'll give them a new heart, a new mind." And so, that form of doctrine is the true gospel. That doctrine is teaching, and it's truth. Now, there is false doctrine, but he says that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Now, the gospel must be delivered to God's people. It must be communicated to them in the power of the Spirit. But the original language of this verse is a little different. It's not contradictory. But here's how it would read literally. Go back to verse 17, Romans 6. Let me read it to you in the original. And he says, "But God be thanked that as you were the servants of sin, lost in your sins, but you have obeyed from the heart," that's the new heart given by the Spirit, the mind, the affections, and the will, "that form of doctrine whereto you were delivered." You see the difference? In other words, yes, the gospel must be delivered to you, but you've got to be delivered to it by the power of God in His providence. God is going to bring His people to the gospel, and they're going to hear it. It may be sitting in a church service listening to a preacher. It may be sitting in a Sunday school situation listening to a teacher. It may be a one-on-one individual like Philip preaching to the Ethiopian. It may be or Peter preaching to Cornelius. It may be on television or on the internet. But the first thing the Holy Spirit's going to do is a work of God's governance here on earth by bringing His people to be connected and to hear the gospel in the power of the Spirit. You gotta be where it is. And He's going to bring you where it is. So, when he says this, we'll read on to Romans 6 and verse 18. He says, "Being then made free or liberated from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." To be liberated from sin is not to be made sinlessly perfect, because there's no such thing on this earth for a sinful human being. You're not even a sinner saved by grace. We're all sinners. We're either lost in our sins or we're sinners saved by grace. But we're sinners. The only way that sinners saved by grace will be totally perfect and delivered from all corruption of sin is when they die and go to be with the Lord. And then we'll know as we are known, as the Bible says. We'll be sinlessly perfect then. And right now, we're sinlessly perfect legally in Christ, because God does not impute my sins to me. I'm still a sinner. But God does not impute my sins to me. He doesn't charge me. He doesn't remember them anymore. That means He doesn't hold them against me. The Bible says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died." That's the legal aspect. But as to my person here on this earth, I'm liberated from sin only in the sense that I see Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of His person, the power of His blood, the glory of His righteousness, as putting away my sins and making me free by His grace. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith you've been made free, the liberty that's in Christ. I'm free, liberated, to obey God now in a way that's acceptable. Not because there's any merit or earning power in my obedience, but because now God has replaced that old legal mercenary motive with the motive of grace and gratitude and love. And so I look to Christ. I'm liberated in that sense. I'm no longer in the darkness of ignorance and unbelief that kept me as a servant of sin. I'm now liberated. I'm a servant of righteousness. What is a servant of righteousness? It's a believer. Sinner saved by grace. Now go back to John chapter 16. Look at verse 13 again. It says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth," and understand what I'm saying, the Holy Spirit does not give life in the new birth. regeneration and conversion under the preaching of a lie. If you're in a church service, let me say this. I know I'm not getting off the subject here. If you go into a religious service, how do you gauge the presence of the Holy Spirit? Is it by feeling? Music that sends chills up your spine? Is it by dancing or what people call working of miracles? My friend, none of those things are valid if the truth is not preached from that pulpit. If the true gospel is not preached, the Spirit is absent. He is the Spirit of truth. And a lie will not get it done. So I don't care how you feel when you go into those services. I don't care how high you get or how happy you get. If the true gospel, the truth of the Bible, all of it, is if it's not being preached, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is absent. And you're being deceived. I know that sounds harsh, but it's the truth. Look at it again, verse 13 of John 16. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He doesn't guide you into a lie. False gospels of salvation by the works or the wills or the decisions, the salvation conditioned on sinners, that's false gospels. The true gospel is salvation conditioned on Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, and who went to the cross as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of His people, and He satisfied God's justice by the shedding of His blood and brought forth a perfect righteousness whereby God is just to justify sinners like me and you. And that's the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel from faith to faith, from the knowledge of God revealed in His Word to the knowledge of God received in the power of the Spirit. Now, He says here, the Spirit shall not speak of Himself. Preaching the gospel is not pointing sinners to some work of the Spirit as apart from Christ. The Spirit will always lead God's people and God's preachers to preach Christ, to cling to Christ, to stick to Christ, to glorify Christ, to honor Christ. It's all about Christ. He shall not speak of Himself, that shall He speak. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now, this is speaking of the Spirit's subservience to the Father and the Son. Not that He's not equal and in deity. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are co-equal in every attribute of deity. But for the purposes of the salvation of God's people, the Son became subservient to the Father, and the Spirit became subservient to the Father and the Son. And He is sent forth, commissioned, and what He hears, He already knows it. He's omniscient, just as the Father and the Son are. But He hears it from the authority of the Father. The Father said at Christ's baptism, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." And the Spirit descended on Him like a dove. And the Spirit points to Christ. And He'll show you things to come. Things that are going to happen. Things that have happened. You read the Scriptures. And go on in verse 14. Here's what Christ says. Listen to this. He shall glorify Me. As I said, it's all about Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's His person and His work. The only access and acceptance that sinners like us have to God the Father is through the Son and based upon His blood and righteousness alone. And that's what the Spirit teaches us in the gospel. And that's how the Spirit glorifies Him, lifting up Christ. Christ has the preeminence. And that's what the Spirit does. Verse 14, He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He's going to receive the things of Christ, Christ in His mediatorial glory, as co-equal with the Father and the Son. The Spirit will do this, and He'll show it unto God's people. He'll reveal it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation because it's a revelation. A revelation of the glorious person and the finished work of Christ. And verse 15, He says, all things that the Father hath are mine. They're given unto Him because of His work on the cross, successful work. And therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. He's going to take of the things of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? What did He do? Why did He do it? Who did He do it for? And where is He now? The Spirit's going to show God's people those things in the preaching of the gospel. And Christ says here in verse 16, a little while and you shall not see me again, a little while and you shall see me because I go to the Father. He's going to go away. He said that. He's coming back again. And then He's going to ascend unto the Father, that He'll send the Comforter. And He'll show these things. He'll glorify Christ. He's the sovereign agent. His work in the salvation of God's people is irresistible, invincible, undeniable. And He is the Spirit of truth. Not a lie. He doesn't work through false preachers. He works through the preachers and the witnesses of God in Christ. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.